Just in case you're wondering, all the way in the back, your baby is allowed to cry whenever they want in this church. No problem whatsoever. All right, good. I can only see just a little bit from here, but it looks like a cute baby, so congratulations. So tonight's gospel is, it's like one of those experiences that you have when you kind of are, say, meeting up with a group of people and they're over at someone's house watching a movie or something, and you kind of walk into the group and the movie's like halfway through and you don't know what's going on and you're like, what's happening? And they're like, well, let me tell you, la, la, la. And those two are meeting, but then it's kind of a mysterious thing and there's actually a love triangle going. And so it's an interesting story that we hear in the gospel, but we're kind of in the middle of an action scene. And we have to be able to see this in a slightly larger context. So let me back us up for a minute to tell us a little bit more of the plot so that we can understand the significance of this moment. What we know well the story, right? This is the story of Resurrection Sunday. This is the first Easter. And what St. Luke has just described in the verses preceding this is the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We know at this point that the Lord is risen from the dead, and he has revealed himself to a few people, but a lot of people, he has not yet revealed himself to them. And so a lot of them are sort of still with lots of anxiety. They're kind of dejected. They're like, these two disciples were like, we're out. We're not sticking around Jerusalem. So they start walking out of the city 7 miles away to Emmaus, and of course Jesus meets them on the way. We know that they are so caught up in their grief, so caught up in their world that they don't even recognize the Lord. And Jesus walks with them along the way, and Luke proclaims, he writes how the Lord would open their minds to the Holy Scriptures. And that as they came to Emmaus near evening, the Lord does this little, shifty thing. He's like, I think I'm going on. And they're like, no, stay. And he says, okay, I'll stay. And so he eats dinner with them, and as he breaks bread, they recognize him, and he disappears in the moment. And they say, oh, what just happened? We need to go back and tell everybody. And so they run back from Emmaus all the way to Jerusalem, and we catch up with them here as they are back in presumably the cenacle, the Last Supper room, or whatever, that interior house where the disciples were meeting. And they're saying, you're not going to believe what happened. And the disciples said, you don't even know. He's already revealed himself to Peter. He's been seen by so many. And so they're telling each other these stories. And then Jesus himself walks into their midst and says, peace be with you. So what I'm imagining in the scene is actually, this is probably Easter Sunday night. They're probably close to Monday at this moment. It was actually kind of a wild thing that's already happened because, as St. Luke said, the two disciples going to Emmaus, are meeting with Jesus and Emmaus in the evening. And as he breaks bread with them and he reveals himself to them, and then he disappears, they make the decision on the spot to return to Jerusalem. So they would be walking an hour and a half or 2 hours back to Jerusalem in the dark. It just seems logical that that would be true based upon how the story goes. And this is kind of a dangerous thing. You don't walk around at night in the dark, especially not between cities. There was no such thing as street lamps back then. It was dangerous. They made a slightly dangerous decision, but they were so convicted of what they had seen, they said, we need to do this now. And so now we have tonight's gospel as Jesus comes into their midst and Jesus says, peace. And Jesus, like he did for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, so he does to the sort of the whole group of people. He opens their minds. And he says, now you know how I proclaimed while I was with you, how it was written of me, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, and in the law of Moses. All of these things needed to be fulfilled. And I say to you, you are witnesses of these things. And this directly links itself to the reading that we heard First, the Acts of the Apostles, which actually chronologically would have happened later in time. This event from the Gospel of Luke happened first, and then Jesus was raised. And then, of course, there's the Acts of the Apostles, which is the story of the early Christian community. And what is Peter saying in tonight's first reading? But the very thing that he received from Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. Did you catch it? Jesus says, look at me. Look at my hands, look at my feet. See that I am risen. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you. In the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, all this would be fulfilled. He opened their minds to the scriptures. Thus it is written that Christ would suffer, he would die, he would be resurrected, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of this. And then what happens later on in the Acts of the Apostles? Peter says, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob foretold all these things in the prophets, in the Holy Scriptures, that the one that you would reject, he would be the one who would be raised up nonetheless. And that though you did this in ignorance, now you are called to repentance for the forgiveness of your sins. We are witnesses of these things. Peter gives almost verbatim what Jesus gave him on Easter Sunday. So there is this very strong link, this very obvious Easter grace that Jesus gives, that if he gave to his apostles, to his first disciples, so he gives also to every person who calls themselves a disciple of Jesus. This grace in which we see how salvation, repentance is tied to mission, tied to proclamation, tied to personal witness. Personal witness. How do I know that I am cooperating with salvation if I keep God's commandments? And what is one of God's Easter commandments? He says, I tell you, you're witnesses. Now go and preach. So, hear this personally in your heart. And in my heart, that we are called to see what the Lord is doing in the Gospels, so he desires to do for you and me. And this Easter grace that he gives today is a grace in which he opens people's minds, opens people's hearts, he blows people's conceptions of God out of the water. Because as a rule, what we think of God is far too small in comparison to who God actually is and how God actually acts. And of course, as we grow up and get older in life and we have all these kind of life experiences and as we enter into sort of the complicated mess of all things, one of the very natural things we do is to start to organize. Anybody else love to organize? I love it. I love organizing. I'll spend all day just throwing stuff away. I don't need this. I don't need that. It's clutter. I hate clutter. I want to simplify. Want to make things easier, and so we very naturally kind of put things into a box, and as it goes, this also tends to make itself seen and heard and affected in every aspect of our life, including our life of faith. For this reason and for that reason, in the midst of all of the situations that teach us about the world and that teach us about God, we can tend also to build this box about ourselves and say, this is where God acts. And this is the same thing that the apostles did during their ministry with Jesus. They hung out with the guy for 3 years, and they saw some very amazing things that he did. And on a certain level, it is true that they had faith in Jesus, but even after 3 years, their minds were not yet open. Well, it's like, man, you guys are kind of slow. Well, that's, frankly, that's all of us. We're all kind of slow. Because even here on the Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus is showing himself in a very supernatural, extraordinary way, they're like, I'm incredulous. Literally, I don't believe. I'm incredulous. I'm looking at someone in flesh and bone in front of me. And Jesus says, here, let me prove it to you. Give me some fish. I'll eat it in front of you in order to prove to you that this is real. Because their hearts, their minds, God They were not able to see how God could operate outside of these boundaries. And God comes into their hearts, into their lives, into this moment, and he says, these are the boundaries shattered. They need to be. If you are actually going to do what I'm going to call you to do. I was speaking about this kind of, I had this very experience 2 days ago. I want to share a little bit about an experience on Friday morning that some of you might have been here for, our Friday Mass with the children, the school children we have at 9 o'clock, and on Friday, this 2 days ago, I had the Mass with them, and I was talking to them in that homily about gifts, about the fact that God gives gifts, and that what God wants to give to us is the best gift that he can, that if God could choose between an okay gift and a much better gift, God is going to de facto give us the much better gift if we're ready to receive it. God always wants to give us what's best. He's never willing to settle for the bronze medal. He says, no, man, I want you to have the gold. And I was speaking about this to the kids and about this very reality that sometimes God gives very special gifts that are even extraordinary. And I described a moment even earlier on this week where I was able to spend time with someone who was going through sort of some a rough time, especially a rough last week. And this person was suffering from a fairly bad wound in their leg, which had immobilized them. It was causing not only pain in their leg, but actually pain throughout their whole body. And they were bedridden. They couldn't move. It was difficult enough for them to even sit up, but they couldn't bend their leg. They couldn't put any weight on it. They couldn't walk at all. They were sort of immobilized. And so I spent time with this person, and I was relaying to the kids how, you know, we sat down and we just began to pray. We began to pray to God that God would bring great healing, that God would bring his grace into the moment. And as we prayed, God worked a small miracle in that moment and brought healing to this person's leg in such a way that they were actually able to not only bend their leg and bend their knee, the pain was gone, and they sat on the edge of the bed, they stood up, and they began to walk around on the spot. And even more beautifully, this person not only received healing in their body, but they received a very real healing in their heart, which was even the more beautiful grace that God needed to give to them in that moment. So as I was telling this story to the kids, that it was this really awesome moment of great prayer and of watching God change on the spot something that could not have naturally happened so quickly, all of a sudden there's this little boy who's sitting on the edge of this pew, maybe five rows back, and he just all of a sudden blurts out, "Really?" And I stopped what I was saying, and I looked at him, and I said, "Yes, really." And he said, "Wow." And I said, "Yes, wow is right." I said, "It was extraordinary. This grace that God gave, that God blows through our boundaries." And it was so enheartening because what I witnessed in that moment was the gift of faith enter this young boy's heart. And he was just so totally caught up in the moment, so amazed by what kind of extraordinary things God is capable of. He just like lost all sense of the fact that Mass was going on and that I was saying a homily. And he started to just ask me questions on the spot. And so I said, okay, well, we'll just stop the homily. And I kneeled right down and we spoke for about 3, 4, 5 minutes, just he and I, while everybody listened to the wonder of this boy whose heart was so open to the gift of faith, who had no boundaries about him, who was just ready to believe that God is actually extraordinary. And he is. And I looked at that little boy, and after the fact, I thought to myself, man, faith is easy. It's easy. I mean, faith is supposed to be easy. I mean, look at it. When you see it, when you witness it like that, you're like, oh, faith in humanity restored. And wouldn't we love to have that kind of heart? So hard for us to believe sometimes. Because we get so boxed in and we're like, you know what? God operates here and God operates here and he operates here. And this is about as good as I can expect and it's never really going to get better. And so I'm just going to go on ho-hum and believe and live my whole life as if we live beside a God who is ordinary and mundane. Man, and that's just not who he is. And I really think that this Easter grace is a grace that he wants you and me to reflect on. He wants to come into your life, into my life, and blow open these borders. Because within you and within me, if we go deep enough, you and I are all going to find that we have the same desire that that little boy expressed on Friday morning, who was able to say, really? Wow. Wow. Yes. That's an Easter grace. The grace in which Jesus comes into our hearts and he says, let me open your minds. Let me open you to a vision that is much grander than the one that you have. Are we willing to let the Lord do that? Man, is he going to surprise us if we let him in that way. And I promise you, he wants to be let in that way. And so let's reflect on that this day as we prepare now to say yes to Jesus as we receive his holy body and blood.